Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
Last week, we started the Advent series, and the first portion, I really walked through what Advent is because, again, unless that's something you practice in your home or you've been a part of like this church or any other church that maybe has done an Advent series, you might not have been familiar with what it meant. So we walked through what Advent meant, what it is, the Advent topics, i.e. the candles that we lit last week was hope, thank you, and this week is, was it peace? It is peace, yes, here I go, off. Next week I think is joy, and then light, and then the last one is faith. I think that's how I have it. But we explain the different Advent topics. Some of them actually have love swapped with like joy or faith, if you see it. Then we talked about how we're doing it here as a church, where instead of doing a different topic every week, we're going to cover the topic for the whole month. And our topic this year is peace, as already seen. So we are exploring what it means when we say God provides peace for his people and ultimately peace in Christ. And we're using the acrostic peace, P-E-A-C-E, to answer this question. The P is God's presence, him being among his people. E is God's experience, him walking with his people, which is what we're going to talk about this morning. A is God's acceptance. C is God's contentment, not God's contentment, but the contentment that God provides. And then E is God expressed. And so that is the acrostic of peace. And as we explore what it means when we say God provides peace for his people. So I'm starting with a question, and I get to use the whiteboard. Y'all knew I'm always going to find a way to squeeze something in here that I can write, especially that I got me this nice fancy new whiteboard. Okay. It was a surprise. This is, my wife knows me. See, my wife didn't provide this. Church members did. But she said when she heard I got a whiteboard, she was like, you just were giddy, weren't you? I was like, you know it. All right, I'll use black. So let's do this. I'd like for you to answer that question, crowd participation. How do we experience God, or better stated, how does God walk with us? So I want you to think about your own life and shout out some ways that you know this is how I experience God, or how God walks with me and or walks with believers. What are those? What do you got? I guess I got to stand in the light. Fellowship. Okay. What else we got? I heard somebody, I heard joy. Comforts our grief. Okay. Keep going. Through his word, prayer, prayer. Y'all don't judge my chicken scratch. Blessings, yes. Amen. Protection. Oh, look at you, Colton. Did I hear creation? Through creation? I'm going to make that lowercase. Provision. Oh, bingo. You would have thought we would have said that first, right, Kathleen? Yep, we got the word. I heard somebody else. Y'all said somebody else said something over there. I got salvation. That would be Jesus. Forgiveness. That's a good one. Joy, yep. The cross. We can put all that under Jesus. You say, what did you say? No. Somebody just said it before. Joy, forgiveness, joy. My bad, that was you, Frank. Sorry, joy. Comforts of grief, and I'm going to put joy over here because that kind of goes with that. Okay, what else we got? You said meditation. I'm going to put that under, that'll go under prayer and the word. What else we got? Anything else you think of how we experience God, or how God walks with us that we don't have listed up here? Maybe you said it and I just didn't hear it because I was writing stuff down. Peace. Did you say serenity? Okay, I'm going to keep that with peace too. All right, what else we got? The Holy Spirit. Conviction. Oh, love is another one. Somebody, who said, what did you say before love? Kindness. Guidance. That would go under the Holy Spirit. What else? Anybody else got something? Oh, yep. I guess that could go up here with blessings, but you dang on right. Miracles. Amen. Which salvation is a miracle? Never minimize if you think I don't have a miracle. You got some people online? What they saying?
The air we breathe.
Ah, okay. Life. What else? His mercy. Well, hold up. Let me see if I can go down here now. Oh, shucks. No. That's grace and blessings. And I had me a cup. All right. Did I miss anybody else? Is anybody else online had something else? Bonnie? Messengers? Interesting. Okay. I'll put that under fellowship. Oh, that's a good word. Okay, I'm going to title that innocent ignorance. Okay. Because then you got ignorance, which we don't want no ignorance. Okay. Innocent ignorance. I got protection up there. Somebody said that. You said witness? I guess the witness and messengers. I got to find who. Is that, would that be under fellowship? I guess that could be other believers. Maybe we can say that. Is that, does that frame that well? Strength. Purpose. Yeah, that's a good one. I thought somebody said that. Fruit of the Spirit. What'd you say? Agape? Love. Yeah, I think I got love up there. Yep. I missed something. Somebody said something else. Prayer. I got prayer strength. That was what it was. Home? Like what do you mean by home? Confidence? Okay, I get that kind of going to peace. I heard, who just said another one with a C? Confidence. Amen to that. Okay, so I ain't heard this yet. I guess that goes under fellowship. I'm going to put church up here. Conscience. There we go. Conscience. Whew. That's conscience, right? That's how I remember how to spell conscience, y'all. Conscience, which is different from being conscious, which is not spelled the same, okay? Lord have mercy. All right, my chicken scratch don't look so bad. At least close to it, it don't look so bad. It's legible for me. Heaven's calling, we're going to put that under Jesus because that's where we reside. I think we missing anything? Okay. We're going to put freedom. Freedom to choose. Hope. Oh, I can definitely do hope. What'd you say? Fearless? You said fearless? Yeah, I didn't see faith. His word, we got that up there. Friendships? Ah, friendship with him. I like that. Okay, I think I'm running out of space, y'all. That could be it. I need a second board. They actually got one. and it's larger. But I was like, dude, we're going to end up taking up the space with all these whiteboards. I got to stop. All right. I'm going to let that be. So this is from y'all. And of course, I didn't write down everything you all said. But pay attention to what you did say out of your own mouth that I might not have written down and the things that I did write down. And these are the terms or categories maybe that you guys answered how we experience God, or better stated, how God walks with us. We got fellowship, love, miracles and blessings, life, provision, comforts of grief, which includes joy at times because we do have an unspeakable joy, right? Protection, amen for that. Jesus himself, period. The word of God, amen. Holiness, the pursuit of holiness and being made holy already in Christ, and then continually being made holy through sanctification. Forgiveness, because we make mistakes in the process of us being made holy. Prayer, peace through creation, the fact that we get to experience God's creation, the Holy Spirit of God, conviction, mercy and grace, innocent ignorance, the things he keeps us from knowing that may make us more puffed up, right? Or be a downfall for us. Other believers, which can go with fellowship, but in this case, maybe it's simply accountability. Maybe it's friendships with other people, messengers, people speaking into your life, etc. Purpose, amen for that. Fruit of the Spirit, strength, our conscience, which can go to freedom to choose, hope, faith, and friendship with him. Those are all ways that we described how we experience God, or how God walks with us. Now let's go to scripture and let's look at how scripture talks about some of these things. Turn with me to Matthew 7. And that, trust me, I'll tie it all in with peace in a moment. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I have less notes and more Bible references today, FYI. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at three verses. And we're going to see this theme through all of these verses and passages that we're going to look at. Matthew 7, listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." So I want you to pause and notice this. So first, at this time, and from this time onward, you're going to have people that are going to make a profession of Jesus as Lord, but they're not actually a part of Jesus in salvation. They can utter the word, "Oh yeah, Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord," but nothing in their life indicates he actually is their Savior and their Lord. He says, "Only the one who does the will of my Father." And you might confuse that "does" with "works." That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about commitment. Only those who are committed to the will of my Father in heaven. Then he goes on, verse 22. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?'" That's gifts. It's communication. "Didn't we drive out demons in your name?" That's gifts. "Didn't we do many miracles in your name?" That's works. It's actions. That could be, you know, giving food out. That could be being nice to somebody else. That could be supporting somebody in need. That could be a number of things. "So then we do these things." And then look what he says in verse 23. "Then I will announce to them," notice these four words, "I never knew you." He doesn't deny the works. He doesn't deny the good. He denies what? The relationship. You did a bunch of stuff, but you forgot the most important thing, me. There's no relationship here. Things without a relationship means you don't enter into his heaven. The relationship leads to you doing the things that look like a part of a relationship. But if you just focus on the things and not the relationship, Jesus says you miss him. And his response is, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. That's some strong words, but he continues on. Go to chapter 12. Watch this. Chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Jesus says, well, narrative, while he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. His biological family outside, they waiting to talk to their brother and their son. Someone told him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Verse 48, he replied to the one who was speaking to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here is my family. Here are my mother and my brothers. And here it is, verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, commitment. Whoever is committed to the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. They are my family. Commitment to God is the relationship with God. And Jesus is anchoring it in him. My Father and your will, your commitment to the will of my Father, like my commitment to the will of my Father, is how we acknowledge you actually have a relationship with God. And the fact that he said that with his actual biological mother and brother standing outside, we would say that's disrespectful. Jesus is just calling it out. He's just stating the facts. I have a biological relationship with them, but this right here, these who were committed, dedicated to my Father are actually my brothers and sisters. Now, keep that in mind and just look at one verse, Psalm 25. Psalm 25, one verse, verse 14. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and again in Matthew 12. Now, notice what the psalmist says here in this verse. Verse 14, Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. I'm going to break this little verse down real quick. You hit the next slide, because I want you to understand what's happening here in this verse. That secret counsel in the Hebrew is communicating intimate communication. For us married folk, we call that what? Pillow talk. Right? Like, there are things you say at night in the bed with your spouse that you don't say to other people that ain't in your bed with you at night and your spouse. Okay? Because it's an intimate communication within a relationship that is just for you two. Nobody else fits in this relationship. Nobody else has the access to this kind of intimacy. And to include this intimacy, this form of communication, this secret counsel is God's will. That's what he's talking about. This intimate communication where God tells you the things that nobody else would know. Not, you ready? This is not mysticism. And we're not talking about some selective knowledge or revelations. That is not what this is talking about. The Bible does not affirm mysticism in that kind of way, or that you can have some special kind of revelation apart from the actual word of God. Okay? That's not what it said here. This is talking about intimacy. Do you know how we say the phrase, I want to know the heart of the Father? You ever said that? Or what's the heart of God? That's found in a relationship. Because my wife can look a certain way, and if I am what? Intimate with my wife and spending time with her, in the relationship with her, I can tell by her body language when she's off or when she's in a good mood. And because there's a level of trust there, when I ask her, hey, love, what's going on? She trusts me enough to divulge whatever's going on in her life that she might not tell the rest of y'all. For the rest of y'all, she might say, I'm all right. I'll get back to you. But for me, because we have that kind of intimate relationship, she divulges the very things that might be weighing her down. That's what this secret counsel of the Lord is. And it's reserved for those who fear him, who reverentially submit to him. That's the same thing Jesus says for those who do the will of my Father. They are committed to the will of God. And then he adds, and he, God, reveals his covenant love to them. This is all about the reservation of a specific kind of relationship with God. You hit that next slide. And so we can translate this to say God's will and special love he only shares with those who walk with him. Jesus was communicating the same thing in Matthew 7 and Matthew 12, which is why it wasn't disrespectful for him to say, yes, those are my biological siblings and my biological mom, but actually, remember, I'm not of this world. My Father is outside of this creation. And these gents right here who do the will of my Father, who are committed to my Father, who reverentially submit to my Father by their following of me, they're actually my family. These are the ones I actually have an intimate relationship with, just like I have an intimate relationship with my Father. It's not merely about the things that you do. It's about who you're with. And when you recognize and know who you're with, then those things follow because he is going to reveal certain things to you that's going to burn in your heart to want to submit to him and do what he desires. So this is for those who walk. Now turn to John 13. Because Jesus continues. So Matthew 7, Matthew 12, that one verse in Psalm 25, we see this. It's what it looks like for those who walk with God. In John 13, in John 15, Jesus gives us another angle at this. We're actually going to start from verse 1. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Man, if that ain't a word. Oh. Woo-wee. Hold on to that. When you feel unlovable, is that the word? Yeah, sorry. When you feel unlovable at times, hold on to the fact that he loves his own to the end. And is there an end in God? Nope. Because he's from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, that's a word. Oh, man, praise God for that. Verse 2. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So, with the realization of where he is at, my hour has come. What does Jesus do with those he has a relationship with? He got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, tied it around himself. He became a servant. He did a slave's job. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and then dry them with the towel tied around him. So what was a job for a servant with no emotion attached to it, Jesus then transforms it into an act of love. An act of humble love for his disciples. What is normally tasked to people you don't even acknowledge, and it's considered a menial and could very well be degrading task. I'm going to do that. as an act of humble love toward you. I'm going to wash your feet. Tell me, seriously, think about this. Who's, other than your own feet, what's the last person's feet you've washed? Your child, probably, when they were what? Young enough to not be able to do it themselves. Now, if you're married and your spouse asks you, maybe you'll do it. I guess it depends on how you're feeling at that time or how you want to be feeling before the night is over. Okay? Jesus is like, I don't care about how it looks culturally. I don't care about the caste and what you may think. No, I love you so much that I want to do something that is so menial and degrading to demonstrate my love for you. I'm going to wash your feet. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And picture that too. Here's Jesus. I mean, at this time, they saw Jesus feed thousands. They saw Jesus walk on water. They saw Jesus heal mutes, heal lame, restore limbs. Come on. I mean, you're like, dude, this is the guy. And why are you getting down on your knees? Why are you taking my feet? No, yo, I'm asking to do that to you. Why are you doing that kind of a job, that kind of a task for me? That's Peter. And if we're honest, we would say the same thing. Jesus, Lord, no, please don't get on your knees for me. Who the heck am I? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand. Peter said, what? You will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, if I don't do what I am trying to do in this relationship with you, you have no part with me. I got to do my part so that later you can do your part. Everything that we experience with God starts first from God's initiation. I want you to hear that. Everything we experience with God, even the things that we do in the relationship, come first because he took the first step. He went low. He grabbed our foot. He took off our sandals. He put water in the basin. He put a towel in there and he washed our feet first before we then turn around and humble ourselves and look after another or are willing to follow him to the cross. Are you catching what I'm saying? He takes the initiation. He leads by serving us, and then we in turn follow and serve him. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Here goes your overachiever right here. Verse 10, one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. But he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. And then he was talking about Judas. All right, stay in John, turn to chapter 15. As he continues his final teachings to his disciples. John 15, pick up in verse 13. No one has greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends. Now, I put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Jesus just washed my feet. We just did the Lord's Supper together, or what would be the Passover meal. And now he's calling us friends. We kind of knew that, but he tethered it to the way he served us, to his love for us. No one has a greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends. In a sense, in the same way I knelt down and washed your feet. Verse 14, you are my friends. Friendship, that's relationship. But what does he add to that? If you do what I command you, if you were, I am the initiator of the relationship. I extend the commitment to you. You have to reciprocate it. Verse 15, I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. I'm letting you in on pillow talk, disciples. The secret counsel of the Lord, the intimate communication that I have with my Father that no one else outside of the Trinity knows, I'm letting you in on that conversation. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Relationship. I appointed you to do what? Go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. That's God choosing whom he wants to walk with and what that looks like. All right, first point, and then we're going to jump right back into scripture. We experience God by being in relationship with God. We experience God by being in relationship with God. And in light of everything that I wrote up here on the whiteboard, I'm going to kind of summarize this by what this looks like. This looks like spending time with God. This looks like talking with God and listening to God. This looks like enjoying God, demonstrating your love for God to God, receiving his demonstration of love for you in return. There are times, I'm sure, in your life where you hit a season of you hit a low season, and you're like, I'm not worthy of his love, I'm not worthy of his grace, I'm not worthy of his pursuit. But that doesn't stop God from loving you, from being gracious towards you, and from pursuing you. What you do when you say you're not worthy of it and you turn your back on it is you are missing out on this intimate experience in the relationship by receiving his demonstration of love to you in return. And that might be why it's harder for you to do what? Demonstrate your love for God, because you haven't learned to receive his demonstration of love for you. It's hard to give love when you don't feel like you are being loved. God's always the initiator, though. We experience God in these ways through what we call spiritual disciplines. Prayer, talking to God. Times of silence and solitude with God. That would be listening to God. Fasting, reading or listening or studying God's word and being taught God's word. Singing and listening to God exalting music, music about who God is or what God has done or what God can do or what God is doing. Fellowship and accountability with other believers. Journaling about what God is doing in our life and what he's been teaching or showing us. And so on, these spiritual disciplines can go. And we call these spiritual disciplines because they train us up to grow in our salvation. Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to do according to his good purpose. So that's why we call these ways of experiencing God spiritual disciplines. They train us up. However, that title, spiritual disciplines, can actually hamper just how vital they are to our relationship with God, because sometimes we don't feel like training, do we? Sometimes you get tired of waking up at 5 in the morning to go to the gym. Oh, that's just my wife. Because she'd be waking up that early to go to the gym. And I'd be like, yep, I'll see you at 7. I'm all right. I mean, hey, let's be honest. There are some days and some seasons where you don't feel like training. You just want to Netflix and chill. You don't want to do nothing. And because of that, you lullaby your spiritual disciplines. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I'm disappointed. I'm upset. I'm busy. Seasons like these can damper our motivation with spiritual disciplines, especially when we only see them as training us to grow. But what these disciplines really are our relationship vehicles. Spiritual disciplines equal relationship vehicles. They are the mediums we experience God in our relationship with Him. You don't get to partake in any of these things apart from what we call spiritual disciplines. Spending time with God, listening to God, praying to God, fellowshipping with other believers, being in His Word, meditating, worship songs, singing or listening to it, journaling, etc. You don't get to experience any of this outside of those relationship vehicles, because that's the very place where you get to connect with God in these ways. They take us to and from in our experience of God. They are how we walk with God and He with us. Changing the way we view them can change our interaction, our engagement with them. If we see them as relationship vehicles and not merely ways that train us up, that changes how we approach God. Think of a healthy relationship with someone else that you've either seen or you experienced. Maybe it's your spouse, boyfriend or girlfriend, for those who aren't married. Maybe it's a best friend, parent or child, coworker, or a teacher, and so on. Think of a healthy relationship with somebody else. What are the vehicles in that healthy relationship which keep it healthy? Think about it. You just pause and think of the healthy relationships you experience and or have seen. Now, what are the vehicles that you can witness that make that relationship healthy? I'm going to give you a minute because I really want you to ponder that and picture it in your mind. Now, whatever came to your mind is how we should somewhat look in our relationship with God, utilizing these relationship vehicles. If you had communication come up, you should be communicating with God the same way. You had spending quality time come up, you should be spending quality time with God in the same way. If you had dating, going out and doing something with each other, you should probably be doing that with God, taking God with you where you go. Seeing Him always in your passenger side. So on and so on, whatever came to your mind. Now, how in the world does any of this have to do with peace? Because this is supposed to be Advent, talking about peace, and right now I'm spending all this time talking about relationship. So what does this have to do with peace? Well, when we experience God via our relationship with Him, it is in this relationship, in the way God walks with us and in the way we walk with Him in Christ, that we receive a peace from God only found in this experience of God. You can't discover the gems along a journey if you aren't actually on the journey. If I told you there were rare jewels out in the wilderness and there was a track to get you to and through those jewels, in order for you to go get those jewels, you would have to do what? Go into the wilderness and walk the journey. It's the same way with peace. Peace is a gem we repeatedly find when we walk with God and He with us. You can only get it if you are spending time with God. You can only experience His peace if He is walking with you. And here is the peace we can only find in this experience of God. These are the two. God's experience equals the peace of spiritual rest. God's experience equals the peace of spiritual rest. Our soul can rest because its eternity has been covered. What we actually call eternal security should be really looked at and thought more of as eternal rest. Because think about it. True rest comes when you feel what? Truly secure. It's only when you feel safe that you can then do what? Be at ease. Be at peace. But if you don't feel safe, you're not at ease and you're not at peace. That spiritual rest comes from our experiencing with God, simply knowing that we are in a relationship with him and he in a relationship with us, allows our soul to rest. Because that means he's taking care of our eternity. God's experience equals the peace of natural rest, rest in our minds, rest in our emotions, rest in our bodies. I mentioned this during the anxiety two parts, that I struggle with sleeping. And it is often due to anxiety and or stress, but not like an intentional kind of anxiety where I am consciously choosing to worry over something. A lot of times my mind just don't shut the heck up. I mean, to be on the pillow like Jesus. Okay, you ready? So I'm trying to go to sleep. My mind is racing. I mean, it's thinking about everything. I'm like, why are you thinking about that? I don't want to think about that. Can you stop thinking about that? And then I start praying. And my breathing gets a little slower. My eyes feel a little heavier. And when I spend time in my mind concentrating on talking to Jesus, you know what happens? I fall asleep mid-sentence. I don't even realize I fell asleep until I wake up again because my mind started racing again. My point is when I, even in my conscious / semi-subconscious, am trying to go to sleep and I'm restless, when I turn my attention on Jesus, even in that state, I find rest. Both in my mind and then in my body as well. Our person can rest because God is our shepherd. He's responsible for taking care of his sheep. Okay, quickly, turn with me to Matthew 25. See if I can speed read through this. Probably not, but let's give it a shot. All right, Matthew 11, excuse me. The verses, verse 25. Okay. Matthew 11, verse 25. We're going to get some verses to highlight how through experiencing God, we find peace through spiritual rest and peace in physical rest or natural rest. Okay, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, and these things would be verse 13, 14, and 15, what he was communicating, and then verses 20, when he says that the town's miracles were done, didn't repent. That is, they didn't repent because they didn't believe. So that's what he's talking about. You've hidden these things, the eyes being opened to see the things they're supposed to believe in, from the wise and intelligent, and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. Now, from 27, verse 27 is relationship. The relationship between the Father and the Son produces the relationship between the Son and believers. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal. So we got relationship. Verse 28 is the rest that comes from the relationship that we have with the Son. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that's a holistic rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is found in a relationship with Christ. Now go to Hebrews 2. Watch how the author of Hebrews communicates the relationship and the benefits that come from this relationship. In this case, rest. Peace. Hebrews chapter 2, pick up at verse 9. And it reads, but we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace, he might taste death for everyone. That's spiritual rest. He tastes the death so that those who would believe in him won't have to taste that same death. Crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Verse 10. For in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, that's past tense, those who believe in him have already been brought to glory. That again is spiritual rest. It was entirely appropriate that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the source of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father, relationship. The sanctifier and those being sanctified are in a relationship because God the Father is their Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, to say, this is my family, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these things so that through his death, he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free, destroy and liberate those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. That's spiritual rest. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way. Relationship. Jesus is the big brother. He's the firstborn. He's the one that looks out for all of the other little siblings. He had to be like them in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Rest found in the relationship because he knows what we're going through and he's overcome. Now turn to, turn to Psalm 23. All right, if you got a pencil or pen, you want to write some of this stuff down, I'm about to give you rapid fire. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. You can write that somewhere in your margin. I have what I need. That's first. Okay. He lets me lie down. That my needs met. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Next one. He leads me beside quiet waters. That's calmness. That's a physical peace. If the waters were choppy when the shepherd would lead the sheep to the waters, you know what the waters would do because the sheep weren't that bright? Sweep the sheep up and take them right downstream. So when it says that he leads them beside quiet waters, he's leading them to waters that calm and won't snatch the sheep up simply with them trying to get what they need. That's peace. That's a physical peace. Verse 3, which is your next one. He renews my life. That's a restoration of the soul. You can only be made whole and feel whole in Jesus, who is your shepherd. Outside of Jesus, you will never feel whole or be whole. You will always have a missing element because your creator isn't a part of it. He leads me along the right path. That's the next one. That's direction. But he does so what? For his name's sake, for his glory, not ours. Verse 4, when I go through the darkest valley, which means you will go through dark valleys, I fear no danger. Why do I fear no danger? For you are with me. That's presence. I know I'm going to go through dark valleys, but I don't have to be afraid because the presence of God is always among me in Christ. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You ready? That's protection. And this protection is through correction and guarding. The rod is for correction, to correct the sheep or to correct the wolf. Because you swing that sucker at a wolf, you can knock him out. And then the staff is for guarding, to guard the sheep and to guard them from wolves. So you see that protection through correction and guarding. So for those who don't like to be corrected or held accountable, that's actually part of Jesus being your shepherd and him looking out for you, is correcting you and allowing you to be held accountable. Don't resist that. Don't resist the correction from the Spirit. That's where the conviction comes in. We said that up here somewhere, right? That's where the holiness comes in and protection. All those things go together. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's stability in the face of opposition. That's stability to be able to weather whatever opposes you in this life, because the Lord is your shepherd. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That spiritual peace, this was twofold. This was a blessing, and then oil being poured over the head of a sheep was actually to remove irritants, because it got stuck all in their fur. And so the oil would actually allow them to get the irritants out of their face so they could see more clearly and follow their shepherd. And then oil was a symbol for blessing for the people of the old covenant. And David is saying here, you anoint my head with oil. You give me a peace, a blessing, as well as a removal of the things in my life that would keep me from being able to see you clearly and follow you. Verse 6, only goodness and faithful love or mercy will pursue me. So some translations say, follow me all the days of my life. That's actually pursuit. When you're in a relationship with God and God is your shepherd, goodness and mercy pursue you. It chases you down. It's the reason why you will never be snatched out of his hands. It's the reason why you, when you go astray, you return and repent. Because goodness and mercy pursue you all the days of your life if you have a relationship with the shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Okay, I was going to read John 10, 1 through 15, which pretty much takes what Jesus, I mean, what's said here in Psalm 23, and you hear it from Jesus as he's communicating to his disciples. But I don't have time to go there because I actually have an illustration I really want to end on, which I think kind of brings the whole message to a close. So I'm going to go ahead and move on and wrap up. Each of these passages, to include the John 10 one that I didn't read, undeniably exclaim that there isn't a single component, spiritual to natural, not captured in the peace of rest God provides for those who experience him in a relationship through Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to do this illustration. You are awesome, whoever is on the slides. All right, Justin, where you at, boss? Come on, sir. Front and center, please. I asked Justin to do this, one, because Justin is my boy. Two, he's military, and I know he got some muscles. All right, stand right here. All right, so in this illustration, I got some stuff for you, Justin. Justin gets to represent all of us. I guess I should have made you Jesus, because it might be a little wrong that I get to play Jesus in this equation. Okay, but that's just you being a humble army vet like you are. Okay, sorry. It's a little insider right here. Okay, Justin represents us. And what's in this trash can, I want you to lift it up, sir. Is it a little heavy? Represents the load of life. The loads that we carry because of sin, death, and its effects. And so Justin is us, and what he's holding is again symbolic of the load of life that we all carry prior to Christ and even in Christ. We just don't realize it because we keep filling up the trash can. What Jesus does when he says, I'm your shepherd, and come to me, and you will have rest for your souls. Where's that? you will have rest for your souls, right? Okay? So when he says that, he says, this is in relationship. He says, put that down, son. You and me now. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. How does that feel? Whole lot better. And he removes it. Then he says, you know what? Just so that you don't think that I'm asking you to do this on your own. My robe is now your robe. So that every time you do this, oh, you know what? Kenneth, come in. Hand me those things right here on the front. One at a time. So that every time, yep, just hand me two. Just stay right there. You're about to be part of it too. Every time life beats you down because you're still in the body of sin and you start dealing with some stuff in your life, your struggles, your vices, shucks, maybe it's your kids or your family or your workplace, okay? Maybe it's anxiety. Hand me the rest of them. Give me that one too. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's church because you're in ministry. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Like whatever it is, when your bucket gets refilled because of sin and its effects, he's like, just in case you start questioning, are you mine? And is my burden, my yoke for you really light? Every time this gets full, it's empty. Because I did the work. That's peace. And I want you to catch that. Okay, come on, Kenneth, give me again. I got three ones right here. I'm putting you to work. You ain't on the camera, so you just get to be part of the illustration. Thank you, son. Okay, thank you. You can have a seat now. Okay, hold on. No, I'm joking, You can have a seat. Okay. What are yours? If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have been robed in a relationship, and he has given you his yoke, which is easy, and his burden is light. You can hold this because he took all the weight. He took the load of sin, death, and his effects away. Then what is it? You can go to the next slide. What is it then that you continually reload your bucket with? What is it? What is it that's robbing you from the peace that God has provided? Because every time something gets added to it, he continually takes it and puts it over here. And then what happened? And you ready? And then there were periods of times, I made it purposely a little heavy. There were periods of times where we do this. Now don't let me grab it. That's what we do. He's like, I'm trying to give you peace, and you actually want to hold it? Why do you want to hold it when my yoke is easy and my burden is light? You don't have to hold it. It's meant to be resting because I did the work. So when you want a whole load of life, the loads of life, things that are thieves of your joy, thieves of your peace, things that cause you to doubt God and distrust God, things that wear you down. When you hold on to those and don't allow the experience of God to provide you the peace, you find yourself weary and heavy laden. Which is the very thing that Jesus says, if you come to me, I take care of that. And you no longer have to worry about being burdened. You can rest because I did the work. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Justin. I'm going to actually leave this up here as a reminder because I really want y'all to ponder those questions. Shannon, you guys can come on up here. I want you to ponder those questions. That's what I want you to reflect on, those questions. That's what I want you to respond to this morning, is those questions. What's been placed in your bucket, either by you about other situations in your life? This is the peace of rest, both spiritually and naturally, we receive in our experiencing God through our relationship with him. So take a moment and reflect on these questions. And then stop pulling away from him And in your relationship, trust him and let him remove the loads of your life so you can have peace. So take a moment and just think. I know we had you guys write on the ornaments to put up there. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was something that caused you to go up there and write about ways of peace. Maybe it's the holiday season. You lost a loved one. Or it's just difficult because your family is broken. You got a broken family. Maybe it's the anxiety because of the holidays. I don't know. Maybe it's your own internal. You go start the music. Go ahead. Maybe it's your own internal struggles. Things that continue to make you feel like you're unworthy when he's like, but it's because of the robe of relationship that you are worthy because you're in a relationship with me and I did all the work. There's no more rating your worthiness because of your sinfulness. I paid for that. Your worthiness is rooted in who I am, not who you are. Maybe it's that. And if you're here and you're an unbeliever, meaning you know you have never made a genuine profession of faith in Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord, then that's what I invite you to this morning. Peace of rest. Whatever you are dealing with in your life that you're wondering, when am I going to find some peace in this? I can tell you, you ain't going to find it apart from Jesus. And even when you believe in Jesus and you still deal with difficult days and difficult seasons, you can always know that I still have peace of spiritual rest because my eternity is safe in his hands. And I have peace of natural rest because he's my shepherd and he takes care of me. That is something you can hold on to when you believe in Jesus that you don't have an assurance for when you don't. So I invite you to believe in Jesus this morning and find rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and find rest for your souls, he says. And that invitation is extended to you this morning, or you who are watching or may hear this later. Respond to God how you need to.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.